But first, the astounding revelations by New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian that disgraced Wagga MP Darryl Maguire was in fact a close personal friend at the ICAC inquiry could be the tip of a very large iceberg, as Darryl Maguire again fronted the inquiry. I asked Dr. Stuart Jackson, Senior Lecturer in Politics at the University of Sydney, what could have caused the Chief Commissioner to adjourn the hearings for today?
The adjournment possibly means that they have had new information appear. So it may well be further conversations from, the Premier's office or from another office, or potentially that they've uncovered something, you know, even while these hearings have been going on, further investigations have revealed something else, particularly where it might relate to something that's been said in the hearings.
Because a lot of this is coming from phone taps. Is ICAC able to just tap anyone's phone with impunity, are they?
Well, this is of a suspect, a person who's, you know, potentially engaged in wrongdoing, corruption and wrongdoing. And yes, they have quite wide investigatory powers. There's always the checks and balances about, you know, who you can or when you can phone tap. But yes, they have wide investigatory powers around the specifics of their corruption inquiry of a public official. So they wouldn't wiretap you or I necessarily. But if we were talking to Darryl Maguire, for instance, then our voice would appear on the tape, of course.
With one of the calls that he was talking about today, Darryl Maguire said that, yeah, he was a bit of a door opener for the Shenzhen group. Now, isn't this why MPs become lobbyists, so they can be door openers? But Darryl Maguire was a sitting MP. Is it kind of appropriate that he's a door opener?
Well, it's potentially not appropriate that he's engaged in active lobbying on behalf of an external client. The question is really then, is it an actual client? Plenty of MPs act as a sort of a lobbyist, but not with the necessary expectation of some payoff, or potentially, you know, a hope of something, you know, in the future when they finish being an MP, but nothing at the time. So there's no active lobbying, as it were, cash for work at the time. Darryl Maguire's case, slightly different, and this is where it all becomes slightly murky. If he's accepting cash for entrees, then there is a problem. If there is an actual expectation of some provision of services to him, then there's an actual problem. That would be then classed potentially as corrupt behaviour, not in the public interest.
And certainly in the previous ICAC hearings last year, he was operating in concert with an immigration specialist and seemed, well, he admitted he was getting money for that. So that clearly goes out the bounds, but we're sort of now looking at a group of property developers, which always seem to get involved in New South Wales politics one way or another. And this is sort of like stage two, isn't it? And would this be the end of the ICAC inquiry for him?
Well, it just depends on, you know, what new information they've managed to uncover. If they believe there is something new to find or something that they have that they wish to further probe him on, then they'll call him back. They can keep calling him back if they feel that they have some information that they need to prise from him. Remembering, of course, that as with all things ICAC, if they ask you a question, they usually know the answer.
Gladys Berejiklian has survived a no-confidence motion this week in both houses. Probably the upper house one is the one that was more interesting, of course. Do you think we're going to see more of these?
It will depend a lot on the actual findings of the commission. Now, if it actually if there's a new dramatic bombshell to go off and it involves the Premier, then she won't survive next week. If, however, there is not much more to come, then she will survive for a period of time. Be aware of the next trip up on her part, because that's when the knives will genuinely be out. She'll be on notice at this point. I'm sure she, you know, called in the favours and said, hey, support me now. Don't let them push me out. This would look very bad for the federal government, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm thinking that she will survive for the moment unless there is something extra coming out now or she trips up.
And if that does happen or that transpires, what are we looking at? Dominic Perrottet has also a few problems of his own with inquiries. And Andrew Constance, another contender, has had a lot of problems with John Barilaro quite recently and was going to resign not that long ago. Is there anyone else that might look like a contender?
Yes, Rob Stokes. Rob Stokes would be the one I would look to. If it's not Perrottet and it's not Constance, and I don't think Constance would actually have a go at it at this point. I think his own volatility mitigates against that. I would look to Rob Stokes, a very clever politician, a very good minister, very competent minister. And I think, certainly from the moderate side, Speakman or Keane might also think that they've got a chance. But I'd actually be putting my money on Stokes, as it were.